Welcome back to Michigan's Big Show, starring Michael Patrick Shields, presented by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. I'm Kyle Malin, editor of the MERS newsletter, filling in for Michael Patrick, Tony Cuthbert, as usual, on the other end of the glass. Yesterday, the state Senate came back into action, and one of the items they took up had to do with this controversy that we've talked about on this program all week regarding the Department of Education's rules regarding how teachers should interact with parents or not interact with parents, as the case may be, in regards to LGBTQ students and students who want to be referred to by a different gender than what they showed up to school in. And talking to us about that now on the other end of our line is Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirky. Good morning, sir.
So, Kyle, you're the big kahuna on the big show today, eh?
I guess. Actually, Tony's the big kahuna. I'm just sitting in the big chair. How about that?
Oh, all right. I can visualize that.
All right. Well, very good. If you want to actually see it, we are on Facebook Live, so you can see me in my fall colors, even though it's not technically fall yet.
Well, it's getting awfully close. I can look out the window here and see a lot of leaves being dropping off of trees already.
Yeah, well, there's a little bit of wind, too, that helped push those off. But
Indeed.
Anyway, Senator, why did you guys take up this resolution yesterday banging on the Department of Education?
You know, enough's enough, Kyle. I mean, we've just been, if you take a look at it, for instance, last year parents were labeled domestic terrorists for expressing concerns at school board meetings about COVID policies affecting their kids. And then earlier this year, the Michigan Democratic Party suggested that parents concerned about their direction of their child's school should simply, just go send them to a private school. A further embarrassment, I think, and a disparagement of parents. And then just last week, we found out, of course, that what you're talking about, that the Department of Ed is advising teachers that, you don't have to tell and share everything about your child with their parents. And I don't care if it's grades, if it's behavior, if it's health. I really don't care. And some of the things that our kids are facing today are very serious. But the parents should always be part of that conversation and never be excluded. And I just don't understand in the year 2022 why something so common sense we're having to actually deal with it. We voted on a resolution opposing that guidance, and then the state superintendent, he doubled down on it in defense. And we need the Governor Whitmer and the Democrats to choose here, whose side are they on? Are they on the side of bureaucrats or on the side of parents?
Now,
and I'm disappointed to say that every floor speech from my colleagues on the other side of the aisle yesterday chose to not even use the word parents and instead accused me, quite frankly, of attacking certain kinds of kids' problems, and that's not the case at all. They do have serious problems these days, oftentimes as a result of the things they're exposed to. But parents need to be involved in that process.
Now, the response to that I've read, and I'm looking at a Facebook post from a former Democratic legislative candidate who said that this type of language about parent community involvement is secret code for letting parents determine curriculum and school policy, including banning books, eliminating DEI initiatives, and overruling science-based recommendations for health and safety. This is just code to let in folks with a certain political bent get into the system and create havoc.
Really?
That's what they
really?
Said. The dangerous,
really?
Ultra-conservative Trumpist.
You're going to believe all of that crap? I can't believe it. I mean, it wasn't that long ago when parents were the key in bringing up their kids, and now we've got government and agencies of government deciding that they're better equipped to deal with children than their own parents. And I'm telling you, this is just horrible. I've given you the three very obvious steps that have occurred over the last year, and we will continue to defend not just parental rights, but their absolute obligation to be included in the education and the health care decisions related to their children.
Now, I saw Tudor Dixon, the Republican gubernatorial candidate, is asking that Mike Rice step down as state superintendent. You guys didn't take that degree of a step yesterday, but is that something you'd be opposed to?
Well, of course I wouldn't be opposed to, and I think Superintendent Rice needs to sit down and evaluate for himself if his thoughts and leadership are in step with families and parents today. And I think he finds, if he self-reflects, that they're not. And, you know, as I said a minute ago, he doubled down in defending what he did, and that's just unacceptable. It's just simply unacceptable.
It does.
Thankfully, most schools that I'm, at least schools that I'm aware of, are not giving much attention to these training videos. But I don't know how that's going to be play out over time.
So I do a little bit of biking, and I've noticed that many campaign signs are out right now, particularly in the Grand Ledge area, on school board races. Why are we seeing so much interest in school board races?
Well, I think the answer to that question is obvious. I mean, people are concerned about what's happening in their schools. This is not an indictment of teachers. Teachers are overburdened and overworked and asked to be involved in things that, quite frankly, they shouldn't have to be involved in. Parents are concerned about it. They're concerned about it. And I think that there's the activism done properly is very good for our school systems. And I applaud those who are willing to throw their hat in the ring and serve on. I've served on a school board, and it's in many ways a thankless job, but a very important job. And it's the best way to help make sure that the community has, and parents in particular, have an opportunity to be part of the key decisions that affect their children for the first 18 years of their lives.
Just switching subject here while we only got a couple minutes left. I see the Governor Whitmer would like to put another $500 million into that Strategic Outreach and Attraction Reserve Fund, the SOAR Fund, that was used to bring General Motors jobs to Delta Township here. Are you supportive of putting $500 million into that fund, or what else would you like to see if you were to throw together a supplemental before the election?
We are working closely together with our comrades and colleagues in the House. And then I think the Budget Office is also engaged, and we're talking about a supplemental, and that may include another deposit in SOAR, but it's still a work in progress. And so I don't want to breach the confidence of those conversations, and just know that it is on the table and is being discussed.
Is there any chance that the legislature is going to take up any type of bill that would set maybe more concrete regulations in regards to abortion to put a matter in front of the governor before the election?
Our focus right now is to make sure that Proposal 3 fails, and fails big time. Because no matter what we might consider doing, it would be all for naught if Proposal 3 passes. And so right now, my focus is on ensuring that people are well informed of precisely what Proposal 3 represents. And every single person that I've talked to, when I've explained exactly what's at stake and what's involved in those seemingly innocuous 400 words into our Constitution, they all say, that's way too far for me to go. Even my friends who are generally speaking pro-choice say, that's way too far to go. And so that's the focus that I believe we should be paying attention to.
Quickly, Senate Majority Leader, is this Proposal 3 more important than the governor's race?
It is at least equally important.
Mike Shirkey, the Senate Majority Leader for the state of Michigan, thanks for joining Michigan's Big Show starring Michael Patrick Shields.
Traverse City is more than a place, it's a destination. And for many, it's a dream, but a dream that's reachable and ready every single day, just a car ride away. Traverse City is diverse, though, from beaches to boating to bluffs to wine and food, shopping and snowmobiling, gaming and golf. The possibilities are countless. So become a regular in Traverse City, where you'll feel away and at home, because its people are its charm.
Visit TraverseCity.com to learn more on our Fab Fall Getaways.
Welcome to the Michigan Lottery Show, the fun and excitement.
50 years ago, a jackpot started growing in Michigan. Inspired by fun and prizes for players, this jackpot has helped local businesses.
The winning lottery ticket was sold at the family market.
And led to over $26 billion in support for Michigan public schools. Today, the jackpot is still growing, and the goodness it's spreading is a win for everyone. The Michigan Lottery. For fun, for schools, for 50 years. Knowing your limits is always the best bet.
So, it's been a while since you've had your jewelry cleaned and inspected, right? Where will you go and who will you trust with your most valuable and treasured heirlooms? At Medawar Jewelers' 4 locations in Lansing, Okemos, Jackson, and Portage, jewelry isn't just our job, it's our passion. Each and every piece entrusted in our care is thoroughly inspected by our trained staff against damage or normal wear. And we offer you, our customer, the highest level of quality on repairs and custom designs. Whether it's worn-out prongs, channels, or shanks, it's all handled with incredible care. Medawar Jewelers in Lansing, Okemos, Jackson, and Portage want to help you preserve your memories and offer you options on creating new ones. Come in today for the cleaning and inspection of your jewelry. We continue to work hard every day to earn your confidence and trust.